Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 16 through 40. God's contrast of the ministries of godly and false prophets. Last week we studied the contrast of the lives of these men. Now it's the contrast of the ministries of godly and false prophets. The prophet Jeremiah lived and ministered in godliness, but false prophets lived and ministered in wickedness. And the people of Judah were left choosing which ministry and lifestyle was that of God's real prophet. Well, God himself contrasted these prophets, including his contrast of the ministries of the good and false prophets in Jeremiah 23:16 to 40. We view this passage for insight and application in our era. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 23, verses 16 through 40. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until we have executed, and till he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they'd stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the earth and heaven, saith the Lord? That's an excellent verse, incidentally, in regards to the omnipresence. Do I not fill the heaven and the earth? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff compared to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man with his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? The burden of the Lord ye shall mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. Ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Okay. In Jeremiah 23:16 to 40, the passage that I just read, the Lord alternated between discussing the ministries of the false prophets and his judgment on them and discussing the ministries of the true prophets. In other words, he He would go from one to the other, and then the other back to the first, and so forth. He went back and forth. So to simplify the contrast between these two ministry types, the false prophets and the true types, I've gone ahead and sorted the information out, listing first God's comments on the false prophet prophetic ministries, then his comments on the true prophetic ministries. First of all, in verses 16 to 21, 23 to 27, and 30 to 40, we note the ministries in God's condemnation of the false prophets as follows. The false prophets offered vain hopes to their hearers. Incidentally, that often happens today by many false teachers. They often offer vain hopes. I've actually heard a minister get on the word and say, God's will for you is to be rich. He doesn't want his people not to be millionaires. So, you know, and of course everybody's saying, yes, preach it, brother. You know, and it's one of these guys that preaches this wealth, health gospel kind of a thing. But it's a vain hope. They verbalized man-made visions that were non-authoritative and not scriptural. The false prophets pronounced blessings on people who despised God's word and followed their own rebellious will versus God's will. That even happens today. The false prophets failed to proclaim the truth about God's coming judgment on sinners, that such sinners would not understand God's ways until his discipline had come upon them. Now, Jeremiah was preaching that way, but the false prophets were not doing that. They were just avoiding the truth. The false prophets failed to sense their accountability to the Lord as the omnipresent God who saw everything they did, including the false lies they proclaimed as if they were the truth. These guys would say, you know, they'd just be focusing on their hearers, and they'd say, well, let's come up with this one. Boy, this will preach. Let's go with this idea. And they get out there and preach it and make the people believe it. And God, meanwhile, is watching them when they're at home trying to concoct this false sermon. As though, you know, they think they're hiding from God. They're not hiding from God. This is why God says, do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Am I not omnipresent? And that's a marvelous, marvelous truth. God is everywhere. He sees everything. We can't hide anything from him. F, the Lord condemned the outright lies the false prophets proclaimed in their ministries. God also condemned the false prophets for trying to make their hearers forget the Lord, like their forefathers had forgotten him so as to replace him with a false pagan god Baal. And the Lord complained that the false prophets even stole words from one another and recklessly proclaimed utterly false, lying visions. And of course, God condemned this. Accordingly, the Lord would level severe judgment on those false prophets who misused the term, the burden of the Lord, as an impressive phrase to try to move their hearers to heed their messages when their messages were just their own words that also perverted the words of the Lord. God got tired of hearing these prophets say, the burden of the Lord, listen to the burden of the Lord. And the Lord say, I don't want you to say the burden of the Lord. You say the burden of the Lord anymore, I'm going to judge you. So he got really tired of them perverting the message of the Lord. So those are the messages, and that's the description of the false prophets. The ministry of the true prophets is listed in Jeremiah 23:22. It's much shorter, but it's much more pungent. Verse 22, and also verses 28 and 29. Verse 22, if they'd stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. God's true prophets proclaim God's word that turned people from evil to righteousness, as defined, of course, by the written scriptures. Why did I say defined by the written scriptures? If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you'll see that God was very concerned that the priests and the prophets ministered in accordance with what was in the scripture. The priest said not, where is the Lord? This is Jeremiah 2:8. And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors, the leaders also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, walk not after the things that do not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, with your children's children I will plead. So God expected these people to minister in accordance with his word. One of the things that marks a true messenger of God today, and we can say this not only about true prophets, we don't have prophets today, but about true messengers, is that they address this issue of sin and righteousness and direct people away from sin to turn to righteousness. There's an improvement in the life. If the messenger is never getting around to doing that, and they're just talking about goodism and just positive thinking, this type of thing, that's not a messenger from the Lord. The Lord's messengers deal with the issue of sin, show how to solve it, and then direct righteousness afterwards. Second, God's true prophets faithfully proclaim God's word in accordance with Scripture. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. That it hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Faithfully carries a connotation of consistently, but really it also carries the connotation of consistency in alignment with Scripture. It's not something that's different from Scripture. We were dealing with this in our sermon on Sunday when I was sharing the burden that we had, that even our children's conversation people really strive hard to reflect what the Bible actually says. It's not our ideas, it's not my idea, someone else's idea, or what I read in a book somewhere. What is the Bible actually saying? That's what the children in our church need to hear what God says, and that's what is meant by faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Word of God, and then consistently preaching that as well. And then the words of God's true prophets nurture godly hearers like wheat does, in contrast to the teachings of the false prophets are like the straw and they have no spiritually nutritional value. In verse 28, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Boy, is this true. I mentioned this years ago, we went to visit my father-in-law when he was still living in Winona Lake area, and he took us to a church. And it was packed. They had an orchestra pit full of musicians and everything. And one of the associate pastors got up and preached. And I think he put a couple of verses up on the screen overhead, but he really didn't expound those verses. It was just a lot of do-good workism. Well, we left that service, and I really didn't get the sense that I'd actually been to church. There was nothing there that fed my soul. So we went to another church. It was a Bible church. It had a lot of problems. They were between pastors, and there was a guest speaker there. He was a former minister, a former teacher at Grace Theological Seminary. It's a conservative seminary that John Whitcomb, incidentally, used to teach there at Winona Lake. And he got up and preached out of Romans chapter 3, 23 to 28. It's the very famous passage about justification by faith alone. I've heard that, I know that passage well, but boy, what a joy it was to sit there and listen to this man share the word. This was actually scripture that he was giving. And after that, I thought, I've been to church. The first one was just sort of an exercise, but there's no feeding. And that's the difference between true messengers of God and false. False messengers is just chaff. There's no content. There's no meat. For those who are ministering the word of God will give food that really nurtures. And then God's true prophets minister God's word with penetrating power, likened to that of a consuming fire or a hammer that shatters the rock to pieces. Notice verse 29, is not my word like as a fire? A fire burns everything in its way. You know, anything that is burnable, it'll lick up if it's a strong fire. And it does. It doesn't show regard for anything. You know, anything that is flammable, boom, it goes. God's word is like that. It covers all the bases, all right? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces, you can't break a rock in pieces with your hands. You take a big hammer, you know, it has a great big old iron head on it, and you crash it down, put it on a rock on another rock and crash it. It'll shatter the rock, break into pieces. That's power, and that's what God's word does. It shatters, it breaks, and that's something that false teachers don't have. They don't have the power in their ministry. They don't have the nurturing feeding in their ministry, where those who are messengers of God have that nurturing capacity. And there's power. It affects the lives of people. So the lesson is false prophets offered vain hopes. They verbalized non-authoritative visions. They blessed those who despised Scripture and followed their own rebellious ways. They failed to proclaim the truth of God's judgment on sinners, and that such sinners would not understand spiritual truth until that judgment fell. They failed to sense their accountability to an omnipresent God who saw their false lies and condemned them. They tried to get their hearers to forget God so as to replace him with another God. They stole messages from one another and recklessly, manipulatively proclaimed false, lying dreams that God condemned so he would judge them for their deceit and their perversions. True prophets, very different, faithfully spoke God's word to turn men from sin to righteousness as defined by Scripture. Their words being God's words, thus being marked by spiritual nurture and penetrating power. May we realize that false messengers function in man-made, unscriptural ways. They bless hearers who sin and teach what is spiritually empty and powerless. But the godly messengers faithfully proclaim Scripture truth to turn men from sin to righteousness with words that truly feed the Spirit and possess penetrating power. Years ago, I was attending a San Francisco Baptist Seminary, a conservative Baptist seminary at the time before I transferred to Dallas. And we had a guest speaker come. He was a pastor, I believe, in some church. And he got up and he spoke, and he never raised his voice. He didn't shout or anything. But as we sat there listening to this man, there was an evident moving of the Spirit of God. I haven't been in meetings like that too much. But it was just something that the whole group of seminary men just sensed that we were just being carried along by this man. And he was just speaking in a conversational kind of a way. But he was speaking the truth, and truth right from the Word of God. And it's like the 50 minutes that we were there was like 10 minutes. It was just time stood still. And it was amazing. And afterwards, we were speaking about it to one another. We were amazed. And this is a very humble man, just pastor, one of the local pastors, but he was really powerfully used of the Lord that day. I never forgot that. And that's something that we need to look for. And he was just ministering the Word. There was nothing false about what he did. He just opened up the Word of God, and he was going at it. But it was powerful. So we can tell, and God will give us discernment as to who are his messengers and who are not. And God wants us to respond accordingly.